Welcome everyone to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode we were talking about how the guru is someone that we should recognize as true if we're getting experiences from this person and a very great question to ask if you're not, sure is to ask the person, are you my guru? Are you worthy of being my guru? Today's episode, we're going to go back a couple podcasts, and we were talking on the woman and man podcast about how really scripturally the difference between the male and the female has some weight. But what's more interesting to people when you talk about duality is this idea of sort of the Judeo-Christian split and the idea that you have Jews, you have anti-Semitism, you have a God in Jesus, and you have who is Jewish, and you have Jews that don't accept this God. And you can imagine the problems that would have just in that Judeo-Christian sort of model, if you will. And you could say, oh, well, why are you even talking about those two religions? What about Buddhism? What about Islam? And that's what we're going to do, because I had mentioned it, and it seems to be more interesting to people than this scriptural duality of the male energy, the Godhead, and the female energy, or the nature energy. So where I'll start is with very common sense understanding of both Judaism and Christianity. And there's a problem there that I will discuss. And the problem, we can look at it from two different ways. The first problem, that's the most obvious, is that in Christianity, you have Jesus. Jesus is recognized as God. The Jews don't recognize Jesus as God, but he's Jewish. So from a Christian's perspective, looking at Jews, here's a group that share the same ethnic or ancient religion that these current Jews hold, namely Judaism, right? Jesus was a Jew, and yet he attained divinity. And they don't even recognize him, Jesus, as divine. When he, Jesus, comes from their, the Jews, own religion, own, historical background, ancient religious background. And can you imagine, it's hard to imagine a situation where that wouldn't be the case. If you're a Christian looking at it like that, how can that be that a Jew today would not accept Jesus? How could that be? Right? So that's one side of it. The other side of it is from the Jewish perspective, they don't recognize man as ever being God. They don't recognize any mortal being that could attain divinity. And, you have to understand that, this Jewish side, right, while it sounds good, and it sounds like, okay, they're honest, they themselves haven't attained divinity, but they're just the super skeptic, And it's kind of refreshing. It's kind of good. It's like, oh, okay, well, no one's going to pull the wool over their eyes, But unfortunately, that position isn't true. We know that it's not true. We know that there have been great beings that have attained divinity. I say it almost every time on this podcast. I think I said it on the very first episode that we ever did. I mentioned this one point. And there's Moses, after all, right? So we do have this problem on the Jewish side. And generally speaking, we see it on the Christian side as well, another kind of problem, which is that Christians don't accept anyone who hasn't accepted Jesus at all, period. There's no room for another divine being, right? So on the Jewish side is saying, well, we don't accept anyone being divine, right? This is this Judeo-Christian model. The Christian side saying, we don't really accept anyone who hasn't accepted Jesus. And while that has might have been tempered a bit over the last, say, 50 years, it was certainly the case during the time of the Holocaust, where the overwhelming ideal and what drove the anti-Semitism was that anyone who didn't accept Jesus was a horribly wretched person, right? Now, I could say, if you knew me from these episodes, you'd probably say, well, that's kind of like my position, right? Because my position says that how could you not accept that man can attain divinity? But I don't limit it to one group. I don't limit it to just Jesus. I accept that Jesus has attained divinity, but I also accept that Moses, Buddha, and Muhammad have done so as well. So it's kind of like that, but it's kind of not, right? It's more spread out, and that's what I'm trying to put on these episodes, is this more spread out kind of a quality stance, which is going to include people as opposed to denigrating them based on their religious beliefs. And hopefully that's the same position that you can adopt regardless of your religion. It doesn't really matter if you're Christian or Jewish or Islamic or Buddhist. You should be able to recognize these divine entities. You should see them in yourself. You should see God in yourself, and you should see God in other people. And that's how you should live your life. That's how you should meditate. And meditation is actually foundational to all of the religions. We understand prayer, but we don't really understand meditation, right? But prayer, if you pray, what happens in prayer? You eventually become absorbed, and that absorption is meditation. So you can understand it from the prayer aspect as well, that meditation really is a part of every religion. And it doesn't have to do with your race. It's like when you go to bed at night, you go to bed whether you're black or white, right? And in the same way you meditate, whether you're black or white. It doesn't have anything to do with race. So hopefully I've, answered some of your questions concerning this Judeo-Christian split, because certainly there's been wars that have fought over this. Hitler, committed genocide on Jewish people, and that was World War II, essentially. And the Americans came and destroyed, with the help of Britain, Hitler, who had killed 6 million Jews, right? Based on this idea that because they hadn't accepted Jesus, I mean, obviously his logic is skewed, but more or less this idea that anyone who hadn't accepted the Christ was an animal. And that started, that was the cause of World War II, 6 million Jewish deaths because of this, leader, Adolf Hitler, who had a lot of support for that belief. So these are very serious ideas. It's just that the reason I didn't want to talk about it before is because it's really not scriptural. There's nothing scriptural that comes down anywhere really on that, other than the fact that, man can attain divinity, and man has attained divinity many times, many, many times. And not, it's not just Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, and Jesus. There have been many others as well. And I mentioned that I was going to talk about an Indian woman saint from the Kashmir region who lived, I think, in the 14th century, who had also attained divinity. It's just that we don't ever hear about it. And that's a woman, right? These are four men. We wouldn't even ever consider a woman to being able to attain the Godhead. But that's exactly what happened. And that's why I am going to share that with you eventually. And that's what we talked about. We talked about that on a prior episode. So that's really where we are on this episode, on this podcast. And, I think that when you have more expanded view, based on God, the notion of God, I think you can overcome your fear. And I think that's what we're really trying to do. And this isn't so much psychiatry or psychoanalysis that we've touched on briefly. And again, I don't have that training, but I've read a little bit. This is really not that. I don't think this kind of thing can be solved with our mental resources, our mental health resources. So it's something to consider, and I don't think you can find it really in any specific church or temple or mosque. This has to be done in meditation. That's why meditation is so great, because no one really can say it's wrong or bad. So if you're meditating, you really are doing the true religion in that sense. And so we'll just finish up with this idea. I'm sure you're very intrigued with this notion of a perfect being. So you have man, and then you have a perfection that man can attain to. And you can call this enlightenment. Certainly I call it enlightenment. I think most people do. And the idea is, how can man, with all of these ideas that he has and cravings and whatnot, everything that goes on in his mind, how can that being, that human being, be a perfect being? And really, the answer is, it really has to do with how the mind is turned. If the mind is turned outward, it takes the form of those objects. Sort of like if you put a blue pen in a glass of water, the water looks blue, right? But the water takes on the color of whatever is placed near it, right? And that's how the mind is. So if the mind is turned externally, then it takes on whatever's there externally. But if the mind also turns within, the mind takes the form of what's within. We know God's within. Every religion has said that too. Jesus has said that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is within. So if the mind takes the form of that inner God or inner heaven, the mind takes the form of divinity. And that's the state of realization. That's the state of enlightenment. And in that state, the mind, for all of the psychoanalytical work or the psychiatric work, doesn't become an object separate from consciousness. It actually is consciousness in that regard. So, and that's really what we're looking for, and that's kind of how we can go beyond the psychiatry that we have, and some of the psychiatric philosophy, if you will, if you want to call that psychoanalysis. That's what we're really looking for. And when the mind does take on the color of consciousness, if you will, then it becomes very calm and still. And we know from psychiatry and psychology that a still mind is actually a healthy mind, a mind that can grasp new things, that can work, that can function, that can relate, that can have empathy, that can feel. Most of the drugs that you would take, the psychiatric medication, it's kind of like meditation, But the psychiatric medication is to help still and calm your mind, whether it's depressive medication or antipsychotic medication. So that's what really what we're looking for when we talk about this state that man can attain to, this divine state. It's really a state of the mind's death. That's how it's referred to in the scriptures. But the mind doesn't really actually die. It just dissolves into consciousness. It doesn't disappear. It just appears to do so. And in that state, and the mind's turned within, you can feel the mind maybe in your heart region when this happens. Then you're able to function. And you can function very well, but you can also transmit Kundalini. Through a thought, through a look, through a word. This word is typically called a mantra. And that's really where we'll end off. I think before we had talked about the greatness of the guru, and we had described this mantra, Guru Om, and that can be where we can leave it with this episode as well. So even though I may not say Guru Om every episode, hopefully it's implied, because we really honor the guru for the teachings that he or she has bestowed on us. So with that, I will sign off. Thank everyone, as the guru dwells within you as well, knowing that, and we will talk next time. So with that, thank you very much for listening. This has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.